too much again last night, damn. Woke up with a hangover, trying to roll up. The work is so hard, can't they understand? So many kids like me, we just wanna blow up, blow up, blow up. Teacher wrong, tell him that my own degree didn't help me write a song. Only paying attention to the girl with the thong and the skirt so short, it's like she barely has one on. And I'm sick of hearing about my alcohol abuses and making up extravagant excuses. You're useless, so deuces to the classroom. Welcome to your dreams, a major without a major, homie. Welcome to the team. I've been working all night, man. What's the young kid gotta do to blow up? This life's becoming something I can't. Tell those people go home, I don't wanna grow up. I drank too much again last night, damn. Woke up with a hangover, trying to roll up. The work is so hard, can't they understand? So many kids like me, we just wanna blow up, blow up, blow up. Become a trend. I roll over in the morning, random girl up in my bed, and I swear she was a cutie, she was looking like a 10, but the proof is in the pudding, I was obviously bent, obviously put it on a rich girl's head. I'm trying to make money like a rich girl dad, so deuces to the school life, welcome to the game, a major without a major, homie, look what I became. I've been working all night, man, what's a young kid gotta do to blow up? It's becoming something I can't stand. Tell those people go home, I don't wanna grow up. I drank too much again last night, damn. Woke up with a hangover, trying to roll up. The work is so hard, can't they understand? So many kids like me, we just wanna blow up, blow up, blow up. Once again last night, damn. Woke up with a hangover, trying to roll up. The work is so hard, can't they understand? So many kids like me, we just wanna blow up, blow up, blow up. Blow up, blow up, blow up. Yeah, we just wanna blow up.
Campaigning for her husband. NBC Sports Network. Now, I'm going to have to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with you here on radio.dominican.edu.
No, no. Money won't save you. No, 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 no. Money won't save you. No,
no, no, no.
Money won't save you.
Signal turning green. a young boy bearing arms. My bleeding way. Had sweet love, but I lost it. She got too close, so I fought, and now I'm lost in the world trying to find me a better way. Wishing I was.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ Liberty here on our first day of our spring semester shows on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. We've had some great shows already today and this evening. I really enjoyed being on DJ Roughhouse's show earlier, talking about soccer. But let's get on to my show tonight, Political Row, here on radio.dominican.edu. Tonight on Political Row, I will be discussing international, national, and state news, along with opinions and responses. Stay tuned to learn about topics such as the Iranian warship move towards U.S. maritime borders, the danger the Olympics may be in Sochi, and the history of the presidential midterm approval ratings and their effect on the House. So, in recent news, Iran has announced that they are sending warships into international waters and towards the U.S. maritime borders. This move, announced by a senior Iranian naval officer, is supposed to be meant as a message. However, U.S. defense officials see that this is kind of just an announcement and not an actual deployment. Now, I know, you know, this news comes across and Americans freak out, like, you know, the North Korea situation when they were said to have been moving nuclear weapons, you know, in range of the coasts of the U.S. However, a military official told CNN that there is no operational information to support the announcement of Iranian warships being sent to the U.S. And another U.S. official claimed that this is not the first time Iran has made a threat like this. They did so twice in 2011. U.S. defense officials and military officials are stressing that this is an announcement and not a deployment. So, I mean, take it how you see it. I feel as though with the knowledge that I have, this may not actually be a deployment like they're saying. This may just be an announcement just to, you know, shell-shock our government a little bit, knowing, you know, we're kind of in a rough spot right now. But, you know, I feel that Americans out there should not be completely devastated to hear this news. Just as the news for North Korea, nothing actually happened with any nuclear weapons hitting any part of this great country. So I would take this as just an announcement, and just, you know, be on the lookout for anything that comes out. We have next Michelle Kwan, interestingly enough, the decorated Olympic figure skater. She has been working as a Fox Sports analyst and also campaigning for her husband, Clay Pell. Now, Clay Pell is striving to get the Democratic nomination for the governor of Rhode Island. Kwan has been reaching out to voters and publicizing his campaign from the Olympics in Sochi, whether it's to, you know, the entire world, the United States, or just her friends, their friends. She was photographed wearing Fox Sports clothing with a Pell pin, and she posted this picture on Twitter. You can see this picture on Twitter at Michelle W. Kwan. And while we're on the subject of the Winter Olympics, Russia, the decision by Barack Obama to not visit Russia has been interpreted as a snub of Russian President Vladimir Putin. However, Janet Napolitano, the former Secretary of Homeland Security, stated that this is not anything against Putin at all, because Obama has not attended any Olympics since taking office in early 2000. President Obama sent a delegation to Russia on behalf of the U.S. That delegation, however, included gay members and has been viewed as an action towards the anti-gay laws in Russia. Now, I've been reading up on a lot of things lately because this is an interesting topic, and people are thinking, you know, like, politics don't belong in the Olympics, things like that. And whatever people say, it's always going to happen. And I know this, you know, this seems like a hit towards their anti-gay laws with us just passing same-sex marriage. However, it's part of the U.S. lifestyle. So, moving on. Michelle Kwan publicized her husband and Obama's absence in Sochi has been kind of big news. And House Homeland Security Commissioner Chairman Michael McCaul, a Republican from Texas, actually kind of stole the thunder when he said on Sunday that he expects a terrorist attack to happen during the 22nd Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Now, you know, however, you know, people may see it, it could be true, it could be false. You know, this is just a prediction of one man, and it's far. I mean, it is. I don't want to say sketchy because it's kind of an uneducated term, but it is kind of sketchy. You know, in Russia with the instability of rebels and whatnot. However, Russian President Vladimir Putin has supported strong military action against Chechen rebels since 1999. It is unusual for lawmakers, such as, you know, McCall or anybody in a lawmaking position in the United States, to make predictions of violent threats. And when he was given a second chance to take back this claim on Fox News Sunday, he just repeated his prediction. Now, Mike Rogers, a Republican from Michigan, he is the House Intelligence Committee chairman. He did not predict a terrorist attack when he was on ABC's This Week, but did say that this may be possible for a terrorist attack to occur, such as the Black Widow bombers, who have been associated with recent attacks. Both McCall and Rogers think that any attacks will come from outside the security line, but hope that any chances of any attacks will be caught before destruction occurs. Now, I know we all hope, you know, the last thing we want to see is something bad happen to any Olympic athletes or anybody there supporting Olympic athletes. In my opinion, I really don't think that anything bad will actually happen. I feel like, you know, Russian officials have had this on their radar ever since it's become an issue, ever since they knew that the Winter Olympics were going to be in Russia. And I'm sure that they have had protocols to, you know, watch out for these things. I feel like if anything were to happen, hopefully the Russian officials, Russian, you know, police, whatever they have, can hopefully stop a terrorist attack if it were to ever happen. In other news, the French president, François Hollande, will be flying to Washington, D.C. this week, but will not be coming with his former first lady. Hollande's popularity and ratings have been dropping lately, as reports have surfaced of his affair with a young movie actress, and he is now divorcing his partner of 7 years. This explains why she will not be traveling with him this week to stay in the White House after President Barack Obama stated in November of 2013 that he is thrilled to house them in the White House. Hollande states that his private life is private, and interestingly enough, he has not denied the accusations of the affair. Hollande will not be the first French president to visit the White House alone. Nicolas Sarkozy, the president before Hollande, attended a formal dinner at the White House soon after he split from his wife. France has been a great pleasure to Obama's administration in relation to global issues and interactions, so hopefully everything can go smoothly and nothing like Hollande's private life will ever come up. I'm sure that is the last thing Barack Obama even ever wants to talk about. Hollande has been proven to be more aligned with Obama because of his similar policies rather than his predecessor Sarkozy. Hollande speaks much better English than Sarkozy, and as well, they will be communicating much more efficiently. However, I guess Hollande's love and private life is completely off the table. The Obama administration has been in intense discussions about killing an American overseas suspected of supporting and planning attacks against the United States as a part of Al-Qaeda. The huge debate is lying with the U.S. military and the U.S. national security. and is all depending on the risk involved and the importance of the target. The U.S. has targeted Americans who are supporting terrorists such as Anwar al-Awlaki, okay, that's weird, who was an al-Qaeda member in the Arabian Peninsula, and he was also killed by a U.S. drone in 2011, along with another American, Samir Khan, who was not an intended target. Now, the drone killings have been extremely controversial, you know, with the idea of the government being able to even kill somebody with a drone here in our own country and then going overseas to do so. It can be extremely controversial, especially with a group who, you know, like Al-Qaeda. The risk is great. I don't know if it outweighs the alternative, but if it does stop a terrorist attack here on American soil, I feel like it is much needed. However, it is up to the American government to figure out, you know, which things outweigh each other, whether it's the risk of letting him go or actually making the attack. So I hope that the government will make the right decision on this one, and we'll see what happens. I'm DJ Liberty here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Thank you.
So this is it. I sold my soul for this. Wash my hands of that for this. I miss my mom and dad for this. No. When I see stars, when I see stars, that's all they are. When I hear songs, they sound like a swan song. Man, I look into my nephew's eyes. Man, you wouldn't believe the most amazing things that can come from some terrible lies.
Better half of me. There You're in the wrong place, trying to make it right. But I'm tired of just in fine. So I say to you, come home, come home. 'Cause I've been waiting for you for so long, for so long. And right now there's a war between the vanities, but all I see is you and me. And the fight for you is all I've ever known. So come home. Get lost in the beauty of everything I see. The world ain't half as bad as they paint it to be. If all the sons, all the daughters stop to take it in, well, hopefully the hate subsides and the love can begin. It might start now. Maybe I'm just dreaming out loud. Well, until then, come home, come home. 'Cause I've been waiting for you for so long, for so long. Right now there's a war between the vanities, but all I see is you and me. The fight for you is all I've ever known.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is DJ Liberty back here on radio.dominican.edu on my show, Political Row. Debates about the president's approval rating every midterm year have risen. Now, I know we were talking about, you know, Obama and the French president coming in and his whole deal with his accusations. Now, I know, you know, like, that seems pretty bad. Obama's doing, you know, whatever he can to to hold up his end of the bargain here in America. We had just touched on the Iranian warships supposedly being deployed near U.S. waters. We had touched on Sochi Olympics, you know, possible terrorist attacks, not terrorist attacks, possible terrorist attacks. And we have also touched on the national security safety of the U.S. In relation to drone killings of suspected American citizens working with Al-Qaeda and being a part of a terrorist group. Now I want to talk about our nation. Like I started off with Obama here in our nation doing, you know, at his midterm. It is speculated that the presidential approval at the time of the midterm will help decide the party's fate in the House. When a president's approval rating is below 50% at midterm, the party's House loses. As of February 9, 2014, Obama's approval rating was 46%. Now, if these past statistics hold up in this midterm, the GOP, the Republicans, the Grand Old Party, will maintain their majority in the House and might even be able to gain more majority. You see statistics that hold up, as in Clinton in 1994, when his approval rating was at 44% at midterm and his party lost in the House. However, in 98, it turned around and his approval rating was 55% at midterm and his party won. Now, Bush in 2002, his approval rating was at 64% and his party won. However, at midterm in 2006, it completely flip-flopped and he was at 43% and his party lost. Obama in 2010 had an approval rating of 44% and he lost as well, or his party lost in the House. There have been many instances, however, where the popular president's party lost in the House, such as Reagan in 1986 and George H.W. Bush in 1990. Now, I think, you know, you can look at statistics in the past, and you can, you know, judge off of what you want to think. I think that, you know, these statistics do hold up big time. The president's affiliation with a certain party definitely holds up to how they act, how they think, what they want to do with legislation, how they want to go about helping out this country. I think that the approval ratings show big time for Obama right now when he's in a pretty rough patch. However, you know, you can obviously think differently, as in instances like Reagan and Bush in 86 and 90. They were the popular presidents. They had approval ratings of over 50%, and their party still lost in the House. So it's all wishy-washy. It's back and forth. It's whatever you want to think. However, I think it really reflects, a president's approval rating really reflects on how people are going to think and vote, and hopefully, you know, it's not just a blind vote and people, you know, listen to what politicians say, but they got to make sure they act on what they do. Obama is a great speaker. I give that to him. He is a phenomenal speaker. However, his actions lately just do not fall with what he is actually saying. So I hope, and that obviously shows, you know, his approval is below 50%. And I hope people can start to understand that, you know, though he is a very intelligent man and he is a great speaker, his actions may not exactly coincide with what he says he's exactly going to do. This year will depend on Obama's approval and how people feel about his State of the Union address. And then on another note, we're going to jump into what the GOP thinks of Obamacare. Now on Sunday, February 19th, 2014, Senator Roy Blunt, a Republican from Montana, stated that Obamacare makes people lazy. He went on Fox News and said, "I think any law you pass that discourages people from working can't be a good idea." Now, Why would we want to do that? How does that allow people to prepare for time when they don't want to work? Blunt said. Now, this is a great question. It's a great topic to bring up to Obama's administration and the Democrats supporting Obamacare. And, you know, anybody supporting Obamacare. What is the motivation to support people who don't want to work? Why do we want to discourage people to not work in our country? First of all, you know, it may, you know, may, okay, so people don't want to work, they give up their job, they, you know, file for retirement, whatever it is. However, it's not what this country has been, I don't know, raised on, but it's not what our country has done. We always strive for a hardworking class that earns their money and pays their dues. Now, Senator Ben Cardin, a Democrat from Maryland, defended the health care law. He said that a decline in work will increase worker choices and not unwanted layoffs. Blunt then said that it appeals to those who do not want to work and don't have to. We do not want to encourage that. The Huffington Post then states that in the 19th and 20th century, the 19th and 20th century labor movement posed for many advances for the working people and were made possible through declarations. And those declarations that were fought for in the 19th and 20th century are now just being taken advantage of by workers. The Huffington Post then provided a quote, "Any man demanding the 40-hour work week should be ashamed to claim citizenship in this great country," declared the chairman of Philadelphia Gearworks in 1926. "The men of our country are becoming a race of softies and mollycoddles." And now that's a pretty explicit statement, and it does come from 1926. So, you know, when it says the men of our country and, you know, it doesn't appeal to women, that, you know, that's totally changed, and women have, you know, their rights, and that's totally deserving and totally correct for everyone to have equal rights here in America. I do agree with the fact that we should not be encouraging people to not work. It discourages people from hardworking, from a hardworking class that is what, you know, brought up this country. It's what earns money to provide for a family, and it's just not what I don't think it's what this country needs. Yes, this country needs more jobs, but I think that it is not the correct way to find people that don't want to work and have them, you know, in a sense, quit because of this Obamacare, and then give jobs to somebody else just because somebody doesn't want their job because Obamacare can cover them. I just think that is the wrong encouragement that this country needs right at this moment. In other news, along with the GOP, the GOP House representatives meet as a debt ceiling deadline looms. Now, on Monday, February 10th, today, House Republicans gathered together. They're actually gathering together tonight, probably already happened on the East Coast, to discuss the raise of the debt ceiling. It is under pressure to discuss this debt ceiling because the calendar due dates for bills and such are in full effect. The House is only in session until Wednesday because the House Democrats meet for their annual retreat at the end of the week, and the House is in recess next week. So CNN feels that if vote doesn't happen by Wednesday, debate will have to wait till February 25th, and senior congressional and the senior congressional are chairmen of the House, and the John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, will have to debate this out later on, you know, February 25th, later on in the month. And that is, you know, that is the last thing we want to do. Is we don't want to push things off till later. We want to get things done. I think we need to pick things up. We need to you know, find things to help this country get back to its greatest ways that we can be. it's reported that this discussion about raising the debt ceiling relies on GOP and if they can get a couple proposals addressed. One is to reverse a cut to military pensions that was part of the budget deal, and another to head off reimbursement cuts to physicians who treat Medicare patients. Now, I'm not so sure I agree with the GOP side in wanting, you know, they'll address this topic, they'll agree to this raise in the debt ceiling if they can get two topics they want addressed. I think it needs to be a straight shot. You know, we can't just keep having back and forths. We need to agree on something or disagree on something and let it go. We need to reform things. We can't just be making compromises. I mean, we do need to be making compromises, but we can't be making compromises that are on, you know, other matters. So it is also reported that if Boehner, the Speaker of the House, can get these conditions addressed, Democrats in the White House will still not be so thrilled because them as well want to pass a clean bill. So I actually agree with the White House there because I also think a clean bill needs to be passed. I think that, you know, passing a bill based on, you know, wanting to get other matters addressed is not the correct thing to do. However, I do not agree with a raise in the debt ceiling. Our debt is completely absurd, and the fact that Obama wants to even take authority and feel that he needs to raise the debt ceiling so that he can spend more and not make any more spending cuts is completely wrong. This country does not have money to spend at this moment, and if we're going to spend money, we need to find ways to cut other spendings that can translate, and we cannot fall further into debt. Now, on another note, the Senate advances a bill to restore full cost of living benefits for military living, from the Star Tribune. The Senate has taken the first step towards restoring full cost of living benefits for military refugees under the age of 62. It is unclear when the bill will pass, but it was voted 94-0 to take the first step. This would add $7 billion to the deficit to our nation over 10 years. Now, Republicans do not favor this because they want cuts to be made elsewhere to avoid a budget increase like Obama's been asking for when he wants the debt ceiling raised so that he can spend more. Now, this would reverse one part of the budget bill that passed Congress last year. Military refugees under the age of 62 would be held below the rate of inflation beginning in 2015. And interestingly enough, veterans groups have strongly protested the change. I personally think that we need to pass bills that, yes, we can spend, but we also need to pass bills that require cuts. Now, it doesn't have to be on certain things. We just need to find ways to cut down on our spending if we want to keep spending, and I honestly do not think that raising the debt ceiling is the right way to go. I'm DJ Liberty. I'm here on my show Political Row on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk about our great state, California, and looking forward to see you back. We'll be back in a second.
Seconds left in overtime. shots left in overtime. She's on your mind, she's on your mind.
What's up, everybody? We're back here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Liberty, and we're on my show, Political Row. Now, we had just touched on our nation's politics having to do with the president's approval ratings at midterm, advance to pass a bill to restore full cost of living benefits for military veterans. We had also talked about the GOP meeting to raise the debt ceiling as a request from President Obama. And now we are going to be talking about the great state of California. Now, jumping right into it, California's electoral reform sees rise of one-party elections. So, off that title, California's elections have developed a new system. This is a system in which only the top two winners in the open primaries get a place on the general election ballot, regardless of their party. So basically, you know, we could end up having two Democrats on the ballot this year instead of a Republican and a Democrat, or vice versa, two Republicans, which, you know, that is way more unlikely than having a two Democrats. The goal of the top two system is to create less partisan elections, leading to less divisive governance. This reform poses threats to Republicans in a huge way. In the state of California, Republicans are struggling with both candidates and votes in a dominant Democratic state with dominant Democratic districts. Now, on the other hand, this does aid Democrats and moderate Democrats. Moderate Democrats have been running against, Democrats and Republicans. Now, moderate Democrats can run and not feel so criticized by their own Democratic Party. I think that in some sense this is a good idea for the state of California to have this top two system. However, I also don't think it's not a good idea. I think it's not a good idea because it does lead to having either two Republicans as the only candidates on the ballot, or it could lead to two Democrats. It may be majority, however, it doesn't allow the freedom to vote for a Republican if you truly still believe that Republican is what this state needs. But in a sense, it does also help the fact of this country's majority rule. And, you know, if Democrats are what needed in this state, then so be it. We'll have two Democrats running or two Republicans running, you know, whatever it needs to be. I just think this system needs to be devised carefully, and hopefully it goes smoothly. Now, on for our governor, Jerry Brown. He says he will not run for president in 2016. There have been some rumors, I wouldn't say several, and I wouldn't say this is a big thing yet, but Jerry Brown has stated that he will not run for president in 2016. Jerry Brown was speaking at a news conference in Riverside, California, when a reporter asked him if he is going to run for the presidency. Brown replied, "No, that's not in the cards, unfortunately. Actually, California is a lot more governable," all according to the Los Angeles Times. Supporters had hoped the popular governor would enter the 2016 race, according to Molly Riley of the Huffington Post. He has yet to decide if he is going to run for a fourth term this year, but is expected he will do so. He has had many supporters in the state, and many supporters are hoping that, you know, since he's not running for presidency, he will run for governor again. With the presidential election 2 years away, it's not so easy to look into who's going to be running so far. I mean, there are names out there, but I think Governor Jerry Brown is right to say, you know, it's not in his cards, and I think it's right for him to stay here in California and continue what he has started. Hopefully things can get on the right track, I feel that presidency definitely, like he said, should not be in his cards. On the topic of Democrats in California, they are striving to make minimum wage a defining issue in this election year. This all according to the Sacramento Bee. Democrats are taking advantage of Republicans worrying about health care. Now that's, you know, that's one plus that the Democrats have got over the Republicans right now, is the Republicans are very worried about the health care with Obamacare, and that's kind of leaving them vulnerable to other issues that they need to also focus on. The Democrats are appealing to supporters by striving to diminish income inequality. That's also a big hit for the Democrats, is the whole equality. I feel, you know, minimum wage should be minimum wage. And even as a college student, you know, I would love a raise in minimum wage. But I think in a way of income inequality, I think, you know, there is no inequality. I think you earn what you earn. And if you're working at a job that pays minimum wage, you know that it's paying minimum wage. And I think you should, you know, apply yourself to certain situations that you know you belong in. Now, the discussion on a raise of minimum wage is reaching out to states and city halls across the country. This is all due to the, I'd say bind that is on Congress. They've voiced their opinion on their ideas to raise minimum wage, and Obama definitely did so as well, as he advocated for support to raise minimum wage to $10.10 an hour in his State of the Union address. Now, Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill to raise minimum wage to $10 an hour by 2016. States such as California are taking action because of the deadlock in Congress. Now, Jason Rowe, a Republican strategist for federal, state, and local candidates, says that minimum wage is a powerful motivator, just as same-sex marriage was for GOP voters a decade ago. Now, this can be viewed as many different ways. The Democrats can take advantage of what the Republicans are focusing on and what they're not focusing on. They need to, you know, the Republicans need to be careful with what they're doing here, and they might, you know, leave themselves vulnerable to something like minimum wage. There are a lot of supporters out there, young, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, just as college students as we are, wanting a raise in minimum wage because, you know, we work for, you know, just jobs that that pay minimum wage. And so a raise in minimum wage is what we are looking for. And that's an appeal to Democratic supporters. They're doing, you know, everything they can, and it's a good technique. Republicans definitely need to be careful with what they're focusing on. I think they need to pan themselves out, and, you know, not be caught off guard by the Democrats when all of a sudden, you know, the Democrats are advocating for many new ideas that that the Republicans are not able to focus on because they're focusing on health care like Obamacare. And now I will be discussing Sandra Fluke, who is strongly considering running for Henry Waxman's seat in Congress. Sandra is a former Georgetown University law student who became known nationally when the conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh called her provocative. Let's just leave it at that. She said Thursday that she is considering a run for Representative Henry Waxman's seat in the House of Representatives. Waxman announced Thursday that he will retire after this session when he has been in Congress for 20 years. Fluke was called, I don't want to say provocative anymore, but she was called out by Limbaugh because she advocated for reproductive rights. Limbaugh's comments came because of her advocacy for contraceptive rights under the Affordable Care Act. Now, she is flattered to be considered a candidate, and especially for Waxman's seat. She will have a decision very soon as whether or not she will be running for Waxman's seat, but based on what she has said already, I feel like she will probably, you know, strive to take Waxman's seat. And so, I just want to, you know, touch back base on what we have discussed today on Political Row on radio.dominican.edu. We started off the show here with international news, news such as the Iranian warships being deployed, supposedly, to U.S. maritime borders. However, I stress that Americans do not worry about this too much yet. We also discussed matters going on in Sochi, where the Winter Olympics are. The chances of a possible terrorist attack predicted by Homeland Security, former Homeland Security Advisor, by a former Homeland Security Advisor. And then we discussed the French president's arrival here in the U.S. this week, and how he will not be arriving with his former first lady, as they are currently in the process of a divorce. And then we went on to discuss the Obama administration and how they have been in intense discussions and debates about whether or not they will send a drone to an unidentified location to take out suspected American citizens being part of Al-Qaeda. We then touched base on the president's approval rating and how that weighed out the party's results in the House. We moved on to discuss how the GOP thinks that Obamacare is making you lazy. I feel that definitely we should not be encouraging people to not work. And then we moved on to a request from President Obama to Congress, to the House, to raise the debt ceiling. I think that is incorrect. That is not the way to go about spending money now when we are already have a huge debt, and he did not propose any spending cuts in to counterbalance this raise in the debt ceiling. And then we continued on with the Senate wanting to advance a full cost of living benefits for military veterans bill. We then pursued to go on to California, where we talked about the electoral reform with the top two system. We went on to discuss how Jerry Brown did not want to run for president in 2016. And then the big discussion lately in the state of California and nationally with the issue this election year with raising minimum wage. And then pursued to talk about Henry Waxman's seat being available in Congress. And that is it. Now, I want to thank you listeners out there for tuning into my show, Political Row, with me, DJ Liberty, here on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. Thank you, and tune in next week, Monday, from 7 to 8 p.m. for my show, Political Row, on Penguin Radio, here only at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you.